Altieri from Planning Consultants for item 11.1. Joe's from Altus Planning. And Joe would like to make a deputation on behalf of his client with regards to item 11.1. Joe, if you're online, can you hear me?
11.2. I certainly can, thank you.
It is the, anyway, Joe, please feel free, Joe.
Thank you very much, President, councillors and officers. Thank you for the opportunity to address you today. I'm glad the technology gods are on our side. I appear on behalf of the applicants in relation to the LVP, item 11.2, lot 304, Sunday Island Bay, Dirk Hartog. And in fact, in a few moments, Jeff might be joining me just to listen in because he couldn't get Teams from his house. Now, I'm going to keep it brief and to the point. I've been involved in this matter now for a considerable period of time, and to be frank, it's somewhat disappointing that we've reached another recommendation for refusal. I say that respectfully because following the March meeting, we genuinely believed we would continue working constructively with the Shire to address council's concerns and to progress the proposal. Now, I don't have time to even begin to attempt to address every issue raised in the agenda. I'd be here all afternoon. I'm going to make 6 points which I think strike to the heart of the matter. So number one relates to the site visit. We were somewhat surprised that the site visit proceeded without any direct involvement from ourselves or the applicant team, particularly given the discussions about physically identifying building envelopes and perhaps being there to explain the proposal on site or any questions. Nevertheless, we accept that it occurred and we hope that councillors found it useful. What concerns me is that despite several months passing since the March meeting, there's been very little in the way of meaningful dialogue about further information and what questions may have arisen from that site visit. I'm sure there would have been many. Instead, the breadth of issues and concerns before you appear to have expanded over time, despite the considerable amount of information already before the Shire in this proposal. The significance of the site, starting from its ecological values through to its place within one of the state's most important World Heritage areas, is certainly not lost on any of us. We understand the responsibility that comes with proposing development in such a location. However, recognising that significance should not automatically mean that the answer is no or that it's just too hard or that there's too many questions. It should mean working together to identify a pathway that appropriately protects those values while still carefully considering an eco-tourism form of development. Point number two, the development renders. One of the things that came up from the March meeting, at least from some of you, is that you wanted to a better understanding of what future development might look like. Since then, as I understand it, particularly in the last week or so, Jeff himself has circulated quite a number of architectural renders that provide a visual impression of at least one form of future development. And importantly, those images demonstrate something very simple. The proposal will not lead to high-rise buildings. It will not lead to an urban-style development. It is not for an intensive resort development. What is contemplated and what is evident in the LDP documents is that this is low-scale accommodation designed to sit within the landscape and respond to the site's environmental settings. Whether individual buildings ultimately achieve that outcome is precisely the sort of matter that is addressed through a future development application or applications, not the LDP. The third point is the scope of the agenda report before you. And as I've already mentioned, it seems as though some of the issues or concerns have expanded since March. And many of the refusal grounds now rely on an assumption about future building designs, visitor numbers, vegetation management, water systems, waste arrangements, future operational matters. And the real difficult for me as a planner is that none of those matters are approved by this LDP. An LDP or a local development plan is fundamentally a strategic planning document. It only establishes parameters. It identifies building envelopes, which it does. It identifies constraints, which it does, and it identifies matters requiring consideration at later stages. It's not a development application. And when I first met Jeff, I told him off because I was sick of him saying that ad nauseum. But after all this time, he is correct to continue saying that. I respectfully suggest that many of the alleged deficiencies identified in the report are matters that are capable of being addressed, conditioned, refined, or assessed when the actual development application or applications is proposed. In fact, the report before you itself acknowledges that an LDP can assist in identifying matters to be addressed at development application stage. It says that on page 58, the second paragraph under the purpose of the local development plan. Number four, the Ningaloo Lighthouse comparison. Now, I recall that I emailed you on or about the 26th of May. At the time, I carefully reviewed the project and I even went back to look at the associated planning documentation. What struck me was not the differences between the sites and the projects, but in fact the many similarities. Both involve environmentally sensitive and remote locations. Both involve tourism proposals within areas of recognised significance. Both require balancing conservation outcomes with economic or development opportunities. What is particularly relevant is that the planning framework adopted in Exmouth did not attempt to resolve every engineering, every environmental, every operational, or every design detail at LDP stage. In fact, one thing that just left me completely perplexed, after all the concern raised about what a shelter in place or a refuse would look like, when I looked at those plans, it was simply identified as a space inside a regular storage outbuilding. I don't want to talk any more about that because we're going to talk about our own proposal, but I will say that many of the matters that are of concern here were appropriately deferred and dealt with at development application stage. And that, in my opinion, is consistent with the purpose and role of an LDP. And if you already haven't done so, I urge you to have a look at that proposal. It's quite elegant. It sits in the landscape, and we strongly believe we could do the same. Point number five, the state government recently advertised a draft chapter of the WA Planning Manual dealing with local development plans. And thank goodness they've done this, because LDPs seem to mean all things to all people spread across the state. advertising just closed, and I have reviewed the documentations, and I even prepared a formal submission. One of the key messages throughout the draft guidance that was advertised is that LDPs should be, quote, fit for purpose, concise, and easy to navigate, end quote. They should not become, as I read the information, repositories for every environmental report, engineering report, management plan, and technical assessment associated with a site. Nor should they become a second or a de facto development application. I am concerned that this LDP has effectively become exactly that, a detailed development proposal, except for the very thing that you're interested in, which is the building themselves. I'm nearly there. Number six, an alternative decision. Finally, I want to address where council goes from here. The recommendation before you is for a refusal. If council adopts that recommendation, then realistically, there is a likelihood that the matter proceeds to the SAP. As I said in March, I don't say that as a threat, but as a practical reality where the applicants are really left with no other option. My preference is, as it was in March, being ever the optimist that I am, is that it's also in council's interest to avoid that outcome. The proposal before you is not beyond refinement. The concerns raised are not incapable of resolution. Many could be addressed through conditions, others through amendments, but for the main, everything could be addressed in a future development application. Accordingly, I urge council to consider whether there is an alternative pathway. However, we need a resolution from you today that clearly reflects such an intention. Otherwise, an open-ended deferral will simply be more time wasted for all of us. So to close, councillors, this application has now been before the Shire in one form or another for many years. The current LDP is dramatically different from earlier proposals. Building envelopes have been reduced. Supporting documentation has been expanded substantially. Bushfire, environmental and infrastructure matters have been examined in detail. And I say again, I think in too much detail. The question before you today is not whether a specific chalet should be approved. It is not whether a particular waste system should be approved. It's not whether a particular building design should be approved. The question is whether the planning framework in place to allow for a properly detailed DA can be considered on its merits at a later time. For these reasons, I respectfully ask Council not to support the recommendation before you and instead explore a pathway that allows for this proposal to proceed. Even the last thing I've got to say is that even if you approved it as is, with no conditions, there is still so much work to be done at DA stage, and nothing will be lost or given away in doing so. I thank you for your time. If it's appropriate and it's possible, I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have, which is why I intended to keep this brief. So thank you again.
Thank you, Joe Altieri. Okay. At this stage, councillors, I would like to acknowledge a written deputation from Planning Solutions, and we will assume that has been, and take that as being read. Everybody has had access to that. Okay. Councillors, we'll move on to item six of the agenda, applications for leave of absence. Okay, 6.1, application for leave of absence, Councillor Cowell. I'd like a mover and a seconder, please. Move Councillor Finney, seconder Councillor Bellotti. Councillor Finney.
I'm happy with the recommendation.
Councillor Bellotti. All in favour? Carried 6-0. Item 7, petitions. We have no petitions. Item 8.1, confirmation of the minutes of the ordinary council meeting held on June 24th, 2026. I'll ask for a mover and a seconder, please. Move Councillor Johns, seconded Councillor Smith. Councillor Johns?
I support the officer recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Smith?
No, that's fine with me, thank you.
Okay, all in favour? Carried 6-0. Announcements by the Chair. There is no announcements by the Chair. Moving on to item 10.1, schedule of accounts paid to be received. Ask for a mover and a seconder, please. Move Councillor Ridgely. Seconded Councillor Johns. Councillor Ridgely. Councillor Johns?
Yep, all good from me too.
Okay. Questions, councillors? Okay. All in favour of the recommendation? Carried 6-0. Are we right to continue?
Just want to check if they can hear anything online.
I'm not sure. We'll get to that in a minute. Do you want to stop, or would you like to adjourn to check?
I'm just trying to.
Councillors, I'll just adjourn the meeting
Just check with.
To check that we are, everything is working as it should do online. Is everyone online able to hear what's going on? Doesn't seem like it.
It's not
till
11.2 anyway.
So. Yeah. Okay. I'll just give the minute taker a moment. If we'll re-adjourn the meeting. It's next one anyway. Very, very soon. Okay, councillors are ready to continue. Item 10.2, financial reports to the 30th of June 2026. A mover and a seconder, please. Okay, Councillor Ridgely. Seconded Councillor Stubblefield. Councillor Ridgely. I would then ask the CEO to speak to this item, please. Me.
Thank you. Through the chair, as councillors, as we explored through the budget workshop earlier today, the financial reports to the end of June. We'll still be subject to a slight bit of movement as we finalise the financial year and move towards the preparation for the end of year financial audit. Russell articulated in that workshop the health of the finances currently and what the year end position is likely to look like as at the 30th of June. Across both operating and capital. So unless there's any specific questions, I think we've sort of touched on.
Okay. Councillors, do we have any questions for the CEO with regards to the item as in the agenda? No? Okay. Well, if we're all in favour of accepting the item as it is written, carried 6-0. Thank you. Item 10.3, community assistance grants, significant event sponsorship, Shark Bay Bowling Club Sport and Recreation Club. Mover and a seconder, please. Move Councillor Fenny. Seconded Councillor Bellotti. Councillor Fenny.
Yeah, I'm happy to support the officer's recommendation.
Councillor Bellotti.
Yeah, happy to support that.
Questions, councillors? Okay. All in favour of accepting the item as it is written? Mm-hmm. Carried 6-0. Okay. Item 11.1, General Report Local Planning Strategy. I'd ask for a mover and a seconder, please. Move Councillor Fenny. Seconded Councillor Smith. Councillor Fenny.
No, I'm happy to support the recommendation.
Councillor Smith?
Yeah, likewise, thank you.
Councillors, any questions? No? Okay. All in favour of the motion as it's written? Carried 6-0. Okay. Item 11.2, Development Plan Lot 304, Sunday Island Bay, Dirk Hartog. A mover and a seconder for the item, please. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry, Councillor Finney.
Oh, sorry, we're on 11.2?
We're on 11.2.
Did Councillor Johns have a...
Oh, we certainly did. Councillor Johns has declared a interest within this item and would like to leave the room. Please feel free to leave the room, Councillor Johns. Brian, can you just close it off? Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Fenny. Okay. I will ask for a mover and a seconder, please, for the item 11.2. Councillor Ridgely, Councillor Fenny. Councillor Ridgely.
Okay, I'd like to move that this item be accepted with changes. I've spent a day and a half on this, investigating and going through it. Well, the first thing I found this handout from the state government about nature-based tourism. So they're really in favour of tourism in national parks. So something to look at with that.
Councillor Ridgely, before you proceed, can I just ask, you're accepting the officer's recommendation?
No.
Sorry. So you're not accepting the officer's recommendation? You're not accepting... Okay, so you're speaking against the recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, please proceed.
So I just got this because the state government's all in for development in national parks, but this particular development's actually on private land, so it may be a little bit different. So that's something they're worth investigating. So I've got our Shire handout we had, and I'd just like to make some comments on our own handout we had, right? So just...
That's the same as the recommendation, Councillor.
This year, I've got comments. My comments. Oh.
That's identical to what's in the agenda.
Yeah, I know, but
yeah, okay.
I've got...
Yeah,
I've made my own comments on locations. Is that okay? Yeah, just some changes. I thought we could make some changes to make it... To make it easier, right? So, let's start at the beginning. Number one, doesn't comply. Well, people are saying it's complying, on half doesn't say it complies. So, there must be a way around making it comply,
sorry,
right?
Councillor Ridgely, can you just, on number one, where your reading is just, can you just point out to where...
Okay, open the page. I'm on the handout.
Yeah, I know you're on your handout, but I'm trying to read it from the agenda.
Okay,
I just want to try and...
The same?
Number one.
Yeah, okay, right. Okay. I've got my notes here, right? Yeah. Sorry. I've written on this,
Councillor Ridgely, just can you... we're talking bushfire, we're talking item one, part one is to do with...
Okay, expanded refusal reasons, right?
Yes.
So you've got local development plan does not comply with state planning.
Yep.
Bushfires and associated guidelines, right? So
it doesn't prioritise retention of native vegetation, biodiversity and all that sort of stuff there, but sure, any development will have anything, no matter where you are in the planet, will have some sort of effect on the environment. So, you know, that's really making it hard. Then you go to see the on-site shelters, like, you know, I have done some investigation, and DFIS rarely will agree with anything on fire and fire shelters. Like, they just won't approve anything. I've been on to other shire councils about it, and they're all having the same struggle with DFIS on this. Like, to have a fire shelter, which is a concrete building, and because it's got a concrete slab on the ground, well, it's not acceptable. Like, so what can be acceptable? It's beyond my imagination. I can't work it out. Like, for instance, I was talking to Shire today, and they said that up in the Kimberley, the helicopter pilots just need somewhere to land at the horizontal waterfalls on land, and they wanted to build a thing for them to sleep in, and they wouldn't allow them, as far as DFIS is concerned, because there was only one road in, one road out, and the pilot said, I will take off and if there's a fire, and in the helicopter, and that was not acceptable. So that's how bad it's got. It's just crazy. So it's got to be, somehow, this fire thing is just, it's out of control. So let me move along. The road. Why is a developer to be responsible for roads on an island which is not anything to do with his own property? Like, it's sure, it's an access road. It's like an access road everywhere. So why should they be responsible to maintain the road from the barge to there? Like, it's not as if they're going to be even traffic jam on the road. It's just wrong. And DBA's history of road control is terrible. Their own road to Steep Point's bad. The Perrin track's terrible. Going to the homestead's terrible. You know, why would they make someone be responsible for roads that's not even their road? The fire management, any... And it says here we are, D... Oh, God, so many numbers here. 2... D in black, does not does demonstrate the local development plan as proposed use a low impact.
Sorry, right? Councillor Ridgey, you've jumped. Can you tell us where you are at the moment?
Okay, I'm on this.
Just read the number, okay. Please, mate.
I'm in 2.
2C?
2C, hang on, keep going, over the page further.
2C1 or 2C2?
2D. Okay, 2D. Right, okay. Here. So that any development has an effect, it doesn't matter what the development is. So it's I don't know how you can stop that. Like, what will you do? The amount of clearance and disturbance of vegetation. Well, the thing is, this is a private land, and why is it that it's a national park all around it, but it's a private block. They should be able to have some leeway in what they do there with their own private land, and I'm sure they're not going to ruin it. And it says in World Heritage Area. The thing is, Shark Bay World Heritage Area, we are the poor cousins. It's terrible. Ningaloo gets the favour for everything. Here we are left out, you know, and I don't know why they harp on about this World Heritage Area. So it's just, you know, if they were dinking about the Shark Bay World Heritage and what, then they were making it better and better, like they're doing for Ningaloo, well, they just forget about us. So I just can't understand that. The outdated D2, the outdated vegetation report, which is 2008. Sure, I'm certain that if they had to, they could easily get a new vegetation report. But in saying that, if you look at that island's been there for, you know, since being a time. And that vegetation probably hasn't, on that area, it probably hasn't changed in the whole beginning of time. So, like, you know, I've been driving past there for 30 years and looks the same to me, but sure, there might be some little anomalies there, but surely it'd be easy enough to get a new report. Like, that shouldn't be too hard. Then you keep on travelling down on that particular one. Okay, the development doesn't demonstrate the local development plan, and proposed and use development will not compromise the high conservation values and ecological values of the broader island. Well, no development's going to do that. Like, it's okay, I'll just, this particular one here, which is down in Fitzroy National Park, I googled the company that's got it, Wanderers. They're going to put like sea containers in there. It's like in an, it's smack in the middle of the national park. So it's got, and I don't know how they got their bell through there, but the buildings look like a square box. So you can go online and see that. Where am I? Who cares? Okay, so then they go on about disease, people potentially bringing parasites and disease and this sort of thing. Like, who already checks the hundreds of people that go over there anyway? Like, is there someone there washing their boots as they get on board their barge or get off that barge as they go over there all the time? Is it happening? I'd say it's not happening, okay? DBCA slogan is parks the people, you know, like parks the people, let the people enjoy them, you know? So it's all against the thing. It's estimated that by the Department of Biodiversity and Conservation Attractions that the LDP may fulfill up to 13,140 visits a year. Approval may result in visitation to the island being more than four times the current average. Gee, was it last year that DBCA came to us this wild proposal to put high-rise buildings and you know, like thousands and thousands of people in there? This is their own department, and the other part of the department didn't even know it's going to happen. So we're dealing with a government department that they just, it's just been all, they're all over the shop. There's already a... Okay, so I demonstrated that these shite shells may not be visually, you know, acceptable. Well, it's already a house in a shed that sticks out, like, you know, you can quite drive, whoa, huge shed there, huge house there. You know, it's already there. I'm certain that these people will endeavour to make their place more sensitive. And as far as ecotourism goes, ecotourism, and I think I've been in ecotourism for 33 years, I think, you know, and I'm doubting because, you know, what is ecotourism? You know, what is it? Like, you're walking on the planet and you think you're in ecotourism walking around, you just squashed a bug, so you're not in ecotourism. So ecotourism is just it's a slang, it's a couple of words thrown together. So it's all in the mind of who you're trying to convince. So honestly think there's a lot of information here that is too much. In like they're saying, this is not a development plan application. It's just an application to get the thing rolling. Okay, he's going to have thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Finney. Sorry, thank you, Councillor Ridgely. Very comprehensive. Councillor Finney.
Well, firstly, just want to thank Joe for his deputation. I always find Joe speaks very clearly and appreciate his time. Very concise, 6 points. Also, I tend to agree with most of what Councillor Ridgely has said, and I do believe that a vast majority of these conditions from point one, two, three, one through three, I mean, I guess there's 18 different recommendations there. I believe a majority of them can be addressed. I believe some of them are much too onerous at this stage. Having said that, for me as a councillor, I can't, unfortunately, go against the officer's recommendation when it is this detailed and elaborate. I just want to focus on part E, point three, part E, point two, part E, in relation to the design guidelines. So look, I believe most of this can be addressed. What I have an issue with at the moment, and the reason I have to accept I will be voting for the officer's recommendation, is that I can't be satisfied as a councillor that the development at Sunday Island Bay does fit with an ecotourism development. Now, I know that there's a huge amount of ambiguity surrounding an ecotourism development. We've spoken about it in length. I'd like to use the examples of South Salis in Exmouth, Eco Beach in Broome, Carrageena Eco Retreat, Faraway Bay in the Kimberley as some incredible examples of ecotourism developments. And unfortunately, I don't believe we have enough information. I know we've asked for more information surrounding the design guidelines, and I can see Joe more than likely will be rolling his eyes now because he said, Joe's saying we shouldn't be addressing this in an LDP, we should be addressing this in a DA, which unfortunately in this situation, Joe and Jeff, we need this information in the LDP stage. That is a planning framework that is going to drive your development application. And for me as a councillor, I can't support this until I have the information, that information specifically pertaining to design guidelines and the as-built drawings for the proposal. And for that reason, I mean, I could keep going, but I do agree with Councillor Ridgely for the most part. I believe most of these issues can be addressed quite simply, and I also believe that some of them are much too onerous. Having said that, there's one thing I'm going to concentrate on, design guidelines in its current form, or due to the lack of the information surrounding design guidelines, I can't be dissatisfied that this is an ecotourism development, and as such, we'll be voting for the officer's recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Finney. At this stage, I would like to ask if Liz Bushby would like to speak on behalf of the staff and the recommendation.
I'm happy to speak to the report. Thank you, Mr. Shire President. As Joy has pointed out, the local development plan is only a first step in the planning process. He's quite correct, there is a subsequent development application stage. In terms of the requirements, the difference in my mind between this local development plan and others I've seen throughout the metropolitan region, the Exmouth example, and in other regional councils, is that the scheme provisions under the Shire Shark Bay Planning Scheme Number 4, as councillors are likely aware, are very, very specific for the local development plan and the things that the local development plan have to address. So the scheme is more onerous as to what has to be addressed at this LDP stage, and the officer report and assessment by Allerding and Associates is telling us that the scheme provisions haven't been substantially complied with by the LDP. Now, I think that the officer report and recommendation is very detailed on the reasons where it doesn't comply, the objections and concerns that have been raised by different government departments, not just DFES and DBCA, but also by Department of Water and Environment Regulation. And the LDP basically does set and pave the way for future development. So if the LDP is approved as is without addressing some of these issues better or in more detail and with improved design guidelines so that we can have some certainty over future development, then I'm not sure what the path is ahead. The LDP is required to provide that really detailed guidance for future development, the time we get to the development application stage, a lot of the issues will have been addressed or should have been addressed by the LDP. Yes, there are some details that would be worked out later at the DA stage, but the purpose at this strategic level is to ensure that the importance of this lot, the World Heritage Area, the surrounding national park, that development is going to be compatible with that setting. Now, I've deliberately, I'm obviously not the author of the report. I have read the report and I do agree with the officer recommendation. I'm happy to answer any questions that councillors might have.
Councillor Blotty.
Torn between it. I actually agree what Greg says, actually agree what Ed says and yourself, but are we being so very judgmental about this just because it's on a World Heritage property like Durchardig Island? If it was in the town precinct, would we think any different? You know, that's a case I'm looking at now. Because it's on Durchardig Island, which is a World Heritage Area, if it was in our town site, would it pass the test that that they've all put forward and, you know, what they'd like to do?
Councillor Bellotti, I think there probably are some differences in how we assess the local development plan because it is on the island. Okay. Obviously, the island has some different challenges that we wouldn't necessarily have in town or for some of our other remote coastal sites. Bushfire is a prime example of that because we have the logistical challenge of it being an isolated block on an island that can only have limited access by oversea. so I'm not sure we can compare future development on the island to development in town as such, because there are different characteristics involved here.
Yeah.
Okay. Councillor Smith.
Thank you.
Yeah, Liz, I have one question. On the title for, or on the deed, or you'd be best to answer exactly where it appears, where does it states a low impact requirement. Can you explain to me why that was put on the title, how it was put on the title, and how it was derived and where it came from?
The simple answer I can give you, which is based on very limited knowledge, is that my understanding is there obviously was a pastoral lease in the past, that was carried by the Wardles. The pastoral lease had not yet expired, and I believe there was the government stepped in wanting to create a national park on the island and did some kind of deal where they extinguished the pastoral lease. And Jeff is obviously much more expert on the history than I am. But they, as part of that deal, if you like, they created the freehold lots. My understanding is also that the DBCA was involved in that process, and as a result of some consultation with DBCA, there were restrictive covenants placed on the titles, which has various conditions attached to it. Those covenants are administered by the Minister for Lands, and I don't believe that the Shire was involved in the formulation of those covenants. So I can't specifically answer the rationale behind the covenants and all the reasons for the wording of the different covenants, other than I assume there was some recognition that the island is a fairly sensitive area in terms of environment and being in the World Heritage Area.
Yeah, thanks, Liz. So on the covenants or those conditions, the low impact
Does that appear alongside or with ecotourism? I've never actually seen that particular document. I've only been told that that appears on there, and that's what drives a lot of my thoughts around this development.
I don't have them on hand, and I can't answer that off the top of my head. I'm sorry, Councillor Smith. What I can tell you is what's in the town planning scheme, and the objective of this special use zone is for ecotourism. So all of the reasons for refusal are linked to a specific scheme provision in that applies to the special use zone for lot 304.
Liz, question from, can you see me?
Yep.
Yes.
Got my back to you, sorry.
That's okay.
Liz, can you just give us a rundown on under the town planning scheme of special use zone 14, please? This seems to have a lot of, it seems to be where a lot of this is coming from. And can you just give us a rundown on special use zone 14, please?
Absolutely. So the special use zone provisions that apply to the lot, and in fact to all of the freehold lots on Dirk Hartog Island, is special use number 14. There's a table in the back of the scheme that sets out the land uses that council has discretion to consider, and it also sets out specific conditions that have to be met in the course of a local development plan and or subsequent development. So as I just mentioned, one of the conditions for the special use zone is the objective of the zone is to provide for ecotourism development. Condition 3 of the special use zone sets out all of the matters that need to be addressed under the scheme as part of the local development plan. So not at the separate development application stage, the scheme specifies issues that have to be addressed at this higher level local development plan stage. The first one of those is a management plan that talks about servicing, effluent disposal, visitor access, rubbish management, and the transport of construction material. The second condition talks about development achieving high architectural quality, being low scale, being sympathetic to the location, taking into account the unique character of the surrounding area, which is obviously the national park. Condition number 3 talks about coastal setbacks, which I believe have been addressed by the LDP. Condition 4 talks about bushfire management in accordance with the relevant state planning policy. So that's where those bushfire requirements come into play. Condition 5 talks about an environmental report. It talks about low impact on the natural environment, not compromising the high conservation values, the need to protect the ecological values, and having regard for the special attributes of the island. It talks about that environmental report needs to look at building envelopes, visitor numbers, vegetation assessment, biosecurity measures, and mitigate the risks of feral incursions into disease and impacts on the national park. And then number 6 talks about design guidelines, which we have touched on before. So the requirements in the scheme are very detailed, and these are the conditions and requirements that the LDP has been assessed under.
Thank you, Liz. So Town Planning Scheme 4, if I'm correct here, was adopted by council how many years ago?
Oh, I'd like to say at least 13 years ago.
Okay, so 13 years ago, council adopted a scheme with this amount of detail, asking for this amount of detail to be provided at LDP stage for special use zone 14. Is that correct?
Yes, that That's correct. Along with input, obviously, from the Dubbo Planning Commission, DBCA, and then the scheme was obviously given final approval by the Minister for Planning at that time.
Right.
So these are the statutory provisions that apply to the LDP.
Righto. So that's why we are addressing these at LDP stage, not DA stage.
That's correct.
Thank you very much. Councillors, anyone, did you have a supplementary question? No? In that case, Councillor Ridgely, if no one else has a question and you would like to close with a closing argument or a question first and then a close? Yep, a question? Please.
Hi, Liz. Just a question. Can you possibly sometimes supply us with a definition of ecotourism? So, obviously, it's, you know, with Councillor Fenny, one of his main hold-up is the fact it's not ecotourism, but, you know, what is that definition? It's such a broad statement. That it could mean anybody can use that in their business. No, it doesn't matter. And my other question is, okay, sorry, if you could just find that out. And my other question is, Joe, is he there?
Not to Joe.
No. I can't.
Nope.
Okay. Fine.
Sorry.
I'm done. You could just find out.
Did you want me to answer that question, Councillor Ridgely?
Oh, if you can do it now, that'd be fantastic. Thank you.
So can I point councillors to page 58 of the agenda? And at the top of that page is the scheme definition for ecotourism.
Okay, would you like to ask another question, Councillor Ridgely?
That's fair enough to have a statement like that, for sure. And I'm certain that the perception of the people wanting to do this project is exactly what they will be focusing on, because if they weren't to focus on this interpretation, well, it wouldn't be... the thing wouldn't get legs and I'm pretty sure this is what they're getting. They're trying to do this. So no one wants going to build a block of flats out there and this sort of thing. So, you know, they're going to be building to blend in with the environment, for sure. They're going to cart the water. They're going to look after. They're going to do all the things they have to do. And the other issue too is that this development's only got a 45-year lifespan. So 45 years' time, a whole lot will be gone and disappeared and back to how it was. So if no one likes it, well, they can always get rid of it.
Wait 45 years.
Yeah, 45 years. Thank you.
Okay. I would like to ask the CEO or Liz, whoever would prefer to answer, the consequences of a vote that is in contravention of the existing town planning scheme. Please. Liz, would you like to go with that, or would you like the CEO to attempt that? You're not sure you know the question?
The consequences of voting against the officer recommendation
of going against the town planning scheme for wording, not the officer recommendation as such, but just to to not be in acceptance of the town planning scheme for's written definition.
Through the chair, the town planning scheme provisions that I've just read out, the specific conditions that apply to the LDP are a statutory requirement under the scheme. So it is the legal requirements that the local development plan has to satisfy those scheme requirements. Now, obviously, the officer recommendation and professional opinion provided by Allerding and Associates is that following their assessment, the local development plan does not meet those scheme requirements. In my view, council could only legally approve the local development plan if it was satisfied that all the conditions of the scheme have been met.
Okay. Thank you very much. Councillors, does that clarify anything? No? Okay. Well, in that case, Councillor Ridgely, as the mover of the motion, I will invite you to one last chance of right of reply, and we'll put the motion. Okay. A question? You can ask a question to the CEO, Councillor Ridgely.
Yeah, just a question to the CEO. I don't know where to go with this now. So this is, if I had known this beforehand, it might have been a bit more information like that would have been good.
Sorry, through the chair, if you had known.
Well, about our planning scheme, like that. Now that Councillor Stubblefield's brought that up, so if we were to vote against this motion, we'd be voting against ourselves. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
You'd be voting against the legal obligations to assess this LDP against the those in the planning scheme.
Okay.
Councillor Ridgely, would you like to close? No? Okay. In that case, councillors, I'll put the motion as it is written, in the agenda on item 11.2. All in favour of the motion as it is written? Carried 5-0. Thank you, councillors. It's a difficult one to get your head around. I'd like to invite Councillor Johns back into the room, please. Okay. Right, Councillor Johns, the decision of council has, after much conversation, the item has been carried as written in the agenda 5-0. Okay. Councillor Bloody?
Can I just ask one question?
With regards to?
To that. We already voted yes, and it's fine if I can't do it.
No, Councillor, we'll move that on, but we can address after the meeting because the agenda's been voted on. Okay. Item 12.1, WA Local Government Association Conference 2026. Mover and a seconder, please. Move Councillor Ridgely, seconded Councillor Stubblefield. Councillor Ridgely?
Yeah, I'll move the motion. Move the motion.
You're happy to support the motion?
Yes, yes.
As is written? Okay. I'd like to put some meat on the bones of the motion and tell you why the motion's been put as it is. We have an ARIC meeting scheduled by our chairman who we've had finally been able to get hold of somebody to chair our ARIC council that has been put forward, and it happens to coincide exactly with the time, the availability happens to coincide exactly the time with the Walga.